Right, from one smiley guest to another, and we are going to strike down those reptilian, shape-shifting lizard people in the next 30 minutes with Charlie Robinson. So please get your questions in the chat, wherever you are watching this in the world. Huge thank you for coming back, Charlie, as usual, my friend.
Thank you for having me back. Spent a little time in Acapulco the last couple of weeks for Anarchapulco. Met a lot of amazing and very inspirational people that sort of make you feel like the world is on the right track when you meet them, when you see what they're up to. So always not lost.
Did you form a conspiracy of conspiracy researchers while you were out there?
Well, there was definitely a conspiracy going on at Max Egan's bar every night, that's for sure, about who was going to wind up having to pay for all this damage that we were doing. But it was what a week, you know, what a fantastic place. And a big shout out to the production team behind Anarchapulco. You know, Acapulco got hit by a Category 5 hurricane in October. Came out of nowhere, destroyed that place. And we knew it was bad, but it's not until you fly in and see all of the trees flattened and the buildings all boarded up and the place looks like a war zone. It puts it in perspective as to how damaging that was. And also what a great job the production team did to get everything up and running, because it very easily could have been the last time that you know, it could have been canceled, but it went off without a hitch. 5 days of amazing entertainment, education, information. Stay for the, you know, come for the lectures, stay for the nightlife that's out of this world. Or maybe you add on a la carte item and you go down the street to Bambuda, which is a health and wellness facility that's right on the beach, and you can go down there and the shaman are down there and you can have magical psychedelic experiences if you choose to, which is always it's always on my calendar. Always seems to be the last thing I sneak in at the end of the day, Friday at the last night. Right at the very end.
Charlie, I'm going to have to stop you lest you end up like Prince Harry and you have the sword of Damocles hanging over your visa status when you visit certain countries. You better be careful what you say, my friend. Your words will be used against you. It's one law for Harry, one law for the rest of us.
Well, I'll tell you, speaking of somebody who's banned in almost 40 countries, I had the privilege of doing a remote interview with David Icke from the stage at Anarchapulco. I was the host and MC for the first day. And we started off the first presentation of the first day with a packed house, not a seat available, spilling out into the sides and into the back. Was me on stage. And then the background behind me is an entire massive LED screen. David Icke behind me, and I've got a stack of questions, much like you have here. I've got a stack of questions from the audience that have been written out in advance that they've given to me. And so I've got the microphone and I'm doing a Zoom call with David Icke, who's on the screen behind me. And then the 360 camera is spinning around so that he can see the packed audience. And he had a great time. So, you know, a guy who's banned in all the Schengen countries and Australia. And as David said, probably a bunch of other countries I haven't tried to get into yet. So,
indeed. So, viewers, if you've got questions, we've got 25 minutes left. Put them in for Charlie. So, first question is from Ian. Who was the proto conspiracy theorist of ages past?
Ooh. Well, it depends on where you are geographically. If you're in the United States, it's probably Bill Cooper. If you're in the UK, it's probably David Icke.
Tell us a bit about Bill Cooper and what he thought.
Bill Cooper was a guy who had a radio show, and he was, maybe a little Alex Jones, a little David Icke, right? He brought a lot of very solid information. But he was also extremely frustrated that people couldn't see it for what it was. So he had a tendency to get off the rails a little bit and start kind of berating the audience. Like, I don't know how many times I need to tell you this, you know, but so there's a little Alex Jones to him. Okay. And he wrote a book called Behold a Pale Horse. And that is really sort of like in the conspiracy Hall of Fame, as far as I'm concerned. It's a book that I think everybody should read. And one of the things that he did that he was sort of known towards the tail end of his life for was in June of 2001, he made a proclamation on his radio show that in the next couple of months, a massive terrorist event was going to hit the United States and that it was going to be pinned on a guy named Osama bin Laden. And don't you believe it? And he said that in June or July of 2001. And by December, he was dead. The police murdered him in his driveway in Arizona. They showed up unannounced, unnecessary, told him that he needed to come out. There was some sort of altercation, and they murdered him.
Wow. I urge people to read Beyond the Pale
Horse.
Behold the Pale Horse. I've got it here. It's up there with the Rubicon, isn't it? So you've got a question from Deborah. Why are the aliens here?
We have great weather. I mean, it's a fantastic... Think about this. If you are an alien and you're traveling around all over the place and you find these planets, why wouldn't you be here? We have water. We have an unusual relationship with the moon that keeps the tides going. I mean, according to some people, there was a time before the moon and the moon was put in place to stabilize our climate. I don't know. That's a rabbit hole you could go down, but I would say that if in fact the aliens are here, then they're probably here because this is a perfect terrarium where you can run all kinds of experiments, you can watch things happen. There's a lot going on this planet, so I would this is where the party is. Of course they're here.
So David Icke has an assortment of theories about the moon and about aliens and all kinds of stuff. What do you make of his theories of aliens?
Well, you know, he's done a lot of work with Credo Mutwa, who was a Zulu shaman, and they talk about a time before the moon, and they talk about reptilian influence in this. And of course, you know, that when you come out and say that, or you talk about the virus early, when you're early, you sound crazy on whatever it is. And of course, when you start talking about reptilians, they automatically fit you for a tinfoil hat. And I understand that. I mean, it's sometimes a bit advanced. It's black belt level conspiracy, right? You wouldn't drop somebody on day one into something that David Icke was explaining reptilian related. But I think that there are a lot of questions about the world that we live in. And I'm somebody that would never pretend to have it all figured out, of course, but I'm on that path to trying to figure it out. And I'll take influences from the people that I respect. I'll listen to what they have to say. Some of it I will incorporate into my worldview, and some of it I will not, maybe not now, or maybe I will later. And so I'm fascinated by the work of these guys. They're allowed to go, you know, they allow themselves to go places that most people won't go. And they know that they take on a lot of ridicule for doing that, but they're exploring topics that I think are worth exploring. I mean, listen, when you go through the city of London, there's dragon symbology all over the place. So the dragons are guarding the gold. There's a lot of lizard symbols throughout everywhere. I've done the Tower of London tour. You've got a big coat of armor with a helmet with a lizard right on the top. And I'm like, what? I mean, you know, I'm trying not to freak my family out. I'm like, there's lizards everywhere. You know, David was right. But so I think that there's more to this universe than what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears. And if you're limited by that, then you miss quite a bit. And I respect the people that are willing to go a little bit further into some areas that you're not going to necessarily get the pat on the back. You're going to get ridiculed. And to do that and know that you're going to get that and do so anyway, I think shows a tremendous amount of courage. So I'm interested to learn more. And of course, David's been at the forefront of all of this.
Yeah. So he's also talked about the parallels with the lizards. So if the psychopathic elites and leaders have no empathy, they're just like lizards. They just want to use other people, eat other people up, exploit other people's resources. Is that, could you expand on that a bit? That's the interpretation I got from reading his books.
Well, there's an interesting thing that happens to the human embryo at a certain developmental stage. Is you get into, you have a very lizard-like baby early on in the first couple of weeks of conception. Things grow out of that. And the idea that there's has been a reptilian influence in this planet is easy to dismiss. And of course, the first time you hear it, it's automatic dismissal. But then you start to dig into a little bit more about you know, there's an undeniable concern with the ruling elite class about bloodlines. It's very important to them. It's, you know, I mean, we can be dismissive of it, but it's important to them. So because it's important to them, it seems like something we should keep our eyes on. And I think part of that has to do with their interest in not diluting a certain type of bloodline, because maybe it isn't exactly human. And if that is the case, if you allow yourself to go down this path and entertain the concept that there are reptilians out there, well, one of the things that you notice is that the people that are in positions of power make decisions that are very disconnected from humanity. And it would be helpful to not be human if you wanted to make those sorts of decisions. Depopulation, thinning the herd. They've always been interested in doing this, pitting people against one another. It's a very destructive sort of mentality. And there's just a lot of ancient history that points towards this. And so much of our history has been obscured. I think we understand that as somebody, you know, as two guys that write books about what's actually happening in history, you have to go through all of the muck and all the garbage and all the disinformation to try and find the actual truth. And I don't know why it would be any different with our history, the history of where we come from. There's a lot of things that are unexplainable to doctors, that scientists that have questions about why we have so much of our DNA is similar to other types of animals out there, why some of our DNA is designated as junk DNA. It seems very incompatible with the way nature works. There's not a whole lot of, yeah, you get a vestigial structure like a tailbone or, you know, something like that, an appendix every now and then that kind of gets bred out of necessity and goes away over time. But boy, there's just a whole lot of symbols, statues, artwork, history, folklore about a time when we had visitors with us. And I think that sometimes if you acknowledge that that is a possibility, it does start to make other things make more sense as well as to why they're so protective of some of these secrets and why the nature of religion, when you get back to the deepest parts, is very hidden. You know, everything that's going on underground in the Vatican and the libraries and the Library of Alexandria gets burned down. So there's part of us part of our history that they desperately want us to not know and not understand. And it might be to keep us down on the reservation, and it might be because they think that we can't handle it. But for the people that write about that and talk about it, I would encourage people to, you know, maybe come at it and say, oh, this is like soft science fiction, if it helps. But read up a little bit about that ancient history, because I mean, if it's the work of Graham Hancock and trying to piece together why these different civilizations all kind of had the same kind of architecture going on at the same time, it's very difficult to explain away. And so, you know, that's part, it's not my area of expertise. Of course, I leave that up to the people like Graham Hancock and David Icke that have been doing this for a long, long time, but I'm deeply fascinated by it. I can still be a fan of the work and be interested in the concepts without having them all figured out.
So, Charlie, are you suggesting that the visitors fused alien DNA with human DNA a long time ago?
Well, if you watch the movie Prometheus, there's a beginning opening scene to that where they have these big gray muscular bald guys that are out there that drink this black goo and then explode into a million pieces and next to a waterfall, and you watch as that gets washed out. There's a lot of ancient history that talks about that. And I don't, you know, I'm handicapped in the fact that I don't have a science background. So I can't tell if somebody says, well, this is junk DNA and it doesn't matter. I can't fact check that because I just don't have the facts. I don't have the knowledge and I don't know it. But I do, through my psychedelic experiences and the books I've read over time, I have come to an understanding that there's more to this world than what we believe there is. That I'm certain of. Now, how much more, that remains to be seen. And I certainly hope that we live long enough to get a chance to discover some of these mysteries. But we live on a fascinating planet. And on top of that, a decision has been made by the people that think that they run this planet to keep a lot of information away from us. And they do that and we feel disconnected because we don't know where we come from and we don't know what the true story is. But it's a very effective tool to keep us down on the farm and not fighting them for control. So, to disconnect someone from where they come from is extremely destabilizing.
Yeah, and that's all we are, farm animals, these people to extinguish and exploit. All right, next question is from Ziva. Is the David Icke interview going to be available for the rest of us to watch?
Well, yes and no. It's Anarchapulco 2024 is available for people. It was streamed. It was a paid, you had to pay for the stream, but it's available as a replay. And for those people that sign up for the replay at anarchapulco.com, if you're interested in watching it, my discount code is macro. It'll save you some money. Use it if you'd like, but, everything that they had from the event is available on that restreaming account. As far as when it's going to be available to the general public, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to put it out, but, I was having like a mild out of body experience while it was going on. I was trying desperately to just like be cool about it and recognize that this event will be over before I know it. And the thing is about, and you have a relationship with David as well. I just go back to 2019 Anarchapulco, 5 years earlier, and I watched him from the front row. He did 4 hours there. As you know, he can, 4 hours is, he can do it, but he was pacing back and forth and he had the crap. I mean, it was a full house, sweating. His shirt was just covered and soaked in sweat because he was just going back and forth. He was just in it, right? So I go from 2019 front row watching David Icke, meeting him there at the book signing, meeting him at the airport, and we talked for a little bit, to then 5 years later being on that stage and interviewing him. It was a huge thrill for me because I gotta say that I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for the guys like David Icke, who wrote his book, or John Perkins, who wrote Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And for me to have these books change my life and then later develop personal relationships with these people has been a real treat for me because I've been aware of just when that fork in the road happened for me. 2007 was a big one when I read Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and 2009 when I first started to get into the books of David Icke, same thing. They spun me off into a brand new orbit that I would have never been in before. And so I want to always make sure to, to show them the respect that I feel they deserve for that.
Yeah, I totally understand that. When I was in America, someone gave me Alice in Wonderland, David's book about what happened in New York. And I've never looked back. I'm still on that journey right now. All right, you've got a question from Gene. How come you are looking younger and younger each time I see you, Charlie? Is it just healthy living? It's alien DNA, everybody. He's there.
I'll tell you what, it's not. It's not adrenochrome. It's not baby blood. It's not. No, I'll tell you, I've got, first of all, thank you, Gene. I've got great sponsors that sponsor my show that make like supplements that actually work. And so I take them. And I also, I try to watch what I eat. Well, the truth is I could eat whatever I want because I go to the gym 5 days a week. So I have been extremely consistent in trying to keep myself healthy and I feel good. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that I have most definitely done, I ditched Western medicine a long time ago. I haven't been on a prescription drug in 15 years, maybe at least. I can't remember the last time I had a prescription for a drug. I just changed that component of my life. I stopped identifying with those doctors and started being proactive as opposed to reactive. In America, we're very reactive. It's like, oh, I'm sick. Now I have to go figure out why I'm sick and fix it. It's like, no, fix yourself first and then you won't get sick and you won't have to deal with this. It's like, change the oil in your car on a decent schedule, and therefore you don't have to deal with the problems of never changing your oil when that manifests itself with a engine that's on fire or something like that. So I come at it from trying to be as proactive as I can. But thank you, Gene. You're the nicest.
How dare you address your root causes, Charlie? Big Pharma doesn't want that. They want you just blocking everything out with their medications.
I know. Can't do that anymore. No good Deborah, for your brain.
Deborah's question, do the shapeshifters make political decisions? This is interesting because I was going to get onto this. Obviously, we look at Biden. He's not making any decisions. Are the shapeshifters making decisions for him?
Unless you consider Barack Obama to be a shapeshifter, which he may be. I don't know. I think that if you looked at these hierarchies of people, the human beings that you see on your television or read about in the online or in the papers, those people are to us, they appear to be the high man on the totem pole in these positions of power. In reality, they're really lower management. They're your assistant manager at the donut shop. You know what I mean? They're not high level people. They're doing what they're told to do. And because of that, and a lot of them, you know, you attract a certain type of person that wants to be in a position of power. So you're already a magnet for psychopathic behaviors and people that are looking for things that, that the state can offer them, whether that's fame or fortune, or in the case of some of the more demented ones, you know, drugs and alcohol and children, you know, whatever floats your boat, they've got it in Washington, D.C. But the deal is you're not allowed to talk about that stuff or else they throw you out, like Madison Cawthorn, the guy who recently talked about the parties that he would go to. And that was the end of him. Or you meet with an accident or something like that. But the people that I think that you see that are, I think they're doing what they're told to do. They're several layers removed from shape-shifting reptilians. Although David Icke tells an interesting story about Ted Heath, about the black eyes, his eyes turning completely black in a makeup studio in the back of the BBC one day. So, you know, maybe if you get up that high to that level, you're sort of a mutant. I don't know.
Yeah, the politicians are just puppets. Even the president is not in control. Yeah. They've got some degree over certain policies. But when it comes to the agenda of the invisible hand, you can't go against that or you get JFK'd.
Yeah.
And the litmus test on how scummery these people are is they're sending everybody else's kids off to fight wars and die. Yet they never send their own kids off. Very rarely. You may find an exemption here or there, but it's extrapolation. As a rule, they protect their own class. And
yep,
we are cattle. We are expendable. As long as they're making more money, gaining more power, as long as their vested interests are protected, that is the bottom line. So what is the politician? The politician is someone who promises the public, the world, to get in power. And then once they get in power, they do the complete and utter opposite because they just bow down to the vested interests that gave them all that money to run their campaigns.
Yep.
All right, question from Ian. Why can we feel a bad vibe in a place or person or even a building? Oh, the opposite. Why do we feel such a good vibe when Charlie Robinson is on the screen?
Well, you know, Ian, I don't know the answer to why we feel a bad vibe. I just know that we can feel it. And one of the things that I've gotten better at over the course of my lifetime is recognizing when I get that feeling and then trusting that there's something there. I've heard it described differently. I've heard some people talk about this subconscious that can sort of see a bigger path than you can see. And maybe, you know, it's don't get in the car tonight with these people. Don't get in the car tonight. I got a bad feeling. I'm going to get a cab and go home. If you get that feeling, if you get that bad vibe, you walk in, you meet a person and you just go, I don't like that. You know, you need to condition yourself. You need to allow yourself to go with that feeling. Just go with it. And it may turn out to be nothing. And some of this stuff you'll never know. You know, you get in, you don't get into a car with a guy who might've been drinking and you think like, maybe you've done it 100 times before, but this time you get a bad feel and you just don't do it. It's hard to measure what would have happened because the universe essentially kind of splits off for you at that point because you go down a different path. But I think it's important to recognize those feelings and to you don't even necessarily have to understand them. I know I don't understand them, but if you get that vibe, and I've had a couple of them that were good vibes too, that I had somebody that has popped into my life that I kind of knew, but didn't really have a close relationship with. I've had this happen a couple of times where the person popped into my life and for whatever reason, I felt like I need to go with them someplace, or I need to connect with them, or I need to talk to them more about some. And looking back in retrospect, some of those were it wound up me reconnecting with this woman who I wound up marrying, have kid, you know, we have, you know, it was my wife, you know, like, but the lead up to that was an unusual situation that I would have normally walked away from in the past. But instead something told me, go with it this time, just go see what happens. Go out with this other person and see what winds up happening. And I look back on that and say, if I hadn't done that, then my whole life that I have right now would be totally different. So the bad vibes, and as you said, good vibes too, just be aware of them.
What a heartwarming story, Charlie. And if I wasn't banned from so many countries, I'd be out with you every night, brother. But the best I can do is meet you on the internet. And tons of questions have come in for you, but we have almost run out of time. Can you please just let the viewers know where they can find you and support you, please?
Sure. Macroaggressions.io is the brand new website. You can check that out. If you go there, there's information about the books and the podcasts and all that good stuff. If you want to go on Twitter and follow me at Macroaggressions, that's the best place to do it. And I'm on Facebook too, but I don't really go there too often, but I encourage people, if you want to come check out my podcast and see if you're interested in my flavor of insanity. It's a little different, but I've been thinking about you a lot with the Danny Casalero octopus movie that's out, or the 4-part documentary series. I'm going to watch it this week.
We must be psychic, because I was about to say, the octopus of global control, as you said, octopus.
Yeah.
Charlie is an author. Have you got any more books coming out?
No. I've got one I'm working on a little bit, but you know how that goes. I'm hesitant to say it's going to be dark. It's a dark one. It might take me a little while to get this. So, I'm trying to prioritize my time. Looking at we're working on the octopus book, the original octopus book. There's more where that came from. We'll just leave it at that. So I'm going to see what I can do with that octopus book that hasn't been done yet.
And what have you got coming up on your podcast?
I have Whitney Webb is this week's interview. People can check that out. We talk about a concept called killware. If you think software and hardware isn't bad enough, wait until you hear about killware. That's coming up. I've got John Perkins coming back from Confessions of an Economic Hitman that we just talked about. I've got author Robert Gore coming. He is a... he runs something called Straight Line Logic, and I was turned on to him a while ago. I have Curtis Stone from Canada coming back on. We just recorded. He's talking about getting off grid. Oh, there we go. Hi, do you look like you're seeing twins?
Wave to Charlie. Baby Ziggy's going to wave to Charlie.
Hello. Look, Charlie, look. Oh, boy, you are in trouble.
He's looking
Sean.
At you. He's looking at you.
That's amazing.
He's gonna come visit us.
I'm coming to visit at some point.
because I can't go there. Yep.
Yeah, if you can't come here, I'm going to have to come there. I'll be out. Rich Willett and I will be contacting you hopefully this summer. We want to talk to you.
Keep me posted, Charlie, brother. We've run out of time. We salute you and look forward to seeing you soon.
Well, thanks for having me. Bye,
thank
everybody.
You, my friend. Cheers. Thank you. Right. All right. So we have got our next guest about to come up. I'm going to go and chill with Baby Ziggy for a little bit. If you want more of Baby Ziggy, go to the Atwood Family channel. And tomorrow night, Jen, Baby Ziggy's mom, is going to be doing live psychic readings on this channel. So check that as well. Going to be bringing, she's got a psychic coming on with her. Right. Let's bring in the next guest. Thank you. Cheers.